Well, good morning. Welcome to Clay Fellowship Church. It's good to be together in the house of the Lord, and this on Palm Sunday. Holy Week begins this week with Jesus' triumphant entry. You know, it's kind of hard in one service to focus on the triumphant entry and in worshiping the Lord, but then going into what happens during the rest of the week. But when you think about it, a lot can happen in one week. And a lot happened in this week of Jesus' life, so today we're going to remember some of that. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, telling them, "Go to the village, and you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them, bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just tell them the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna, son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." So I'm going to ask y'all to do something with me. Say with me, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So again, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Amen. Aren't we blessed that he came to us? So we're going to start our service this morning singing hymn number 217, "Hosanna, Loud Hosanna." And we're going to sing all three verses. You're welcome to stand. You're welcome to remain seated. But let's just praise our Lord as he begins this week singing Hosanna to his name. Him with heart and life and voice. Y'all praise him this morning. Give him a clap offering.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. Brother Fred, please open us in prayer this morning.
Let's bow our heads. Father God, we come to you, Lord, rejoicing in our hearts because you came to this earth. And Lord, that Sunday that you came riding that donkey into Jerusalem, Lord. They honored you. They shouted hosannas to you, Lord. And this morning, our hearts are shouting those same hosannas to you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for being our God. Lord, this morning we come and, Lord, we bring all of our cares, our concerns, Lord, our prayers to you today, Lord. We have so many people who are suffering, so many that have concerns, Lord, in the hospital, Lord. Oh, we just pray for those that you would bring healing in their lives today, Lord. As we come this way today, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit be active in our service today, Lord, that he would just touch our lives. Lord, touch our hearts, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and Lord, and challenge us to be the people that you want us to be, Lord. God, everything we do today, we just pray, Lord, that it'll all be for your glory and your honor. We love you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray today. Amen. And amen.
Luke 9, verse 51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Well, when I read that verse, resolutely set out for Jerusalem, stuck with me. And I was just thinking, so here's some thoughts. He resolutely set out to the place where he was pierced for our transgressions, where he was crushed for our iniquities, where he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross, where the punishment that brought us peace was on him, where by his wounds we are healed, where Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me and you and all of humanity. We're going to sing the old rugged cross. We can't lead up into Easter and not sing the old rugged cross. It's hymn number 233, and we're going to sing all the verses. Cherish the old rugged cross. So if you're willing and able, please stand with me.
Trophies at last I lay down.
This morning, Tuesday morning at 9:30 a.m., our group that meet together for breakfast and just community and fellowship, they meet at the Jacks on Different Parkway and Highway 11 there in Trustful, and that, again, that's Tuesday morning at 9:30. This week, our schedule's a little different. We will not have Wednesday night Bible study, but we will have a Maundy Thursday night service here in the Worship Center. That's Thursday, April the 17th, beginning at 7 p.m. Following our service, we will have a get-together for dessert, snacks, just a time of fellowship. So we will have the fellowship hall open at 6:30 if you feel led to bring dessert or snacks. And then we'll just hang out together afterwards and celebrate victory. Amen. Sunday mornings, we have Sunday school at 10 a.m. and worship service at 11 here in the Worship Center. Game night will not be this Friday night. It will be next month, May the 16th at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. We have ministry opportunities. One of those is supporting the veterans that live at Three Hots and a Cot there in Chalkville. We are collecting the items that they typically need. There's a list on the back information table of those items, and then there's a box in the back for the collection, which we're about ready for another load to go. Y'all are great at supporting Three Hots and a Cot. Also, too, in the back is a collection box for our food pantry recipients. And again, on the information table, a list of those items we typically provide. Coming up July 19th through 26th, there will be a short-term mission trip to Jamaica. And this is with Brother Fred and Diane's son, Richard. If you would like information or any way to support that short-term mission, Fred will be happy to connect you to Richard. And we can be in prayer for this mission trip and the work that the Lord has for them to do. Our announcements and prayer list go out on Fridays through an email. If you have any prayer items that you would like added to our prayer list or any announcements, just let Cindy know. You can leave a message on the office phone. You can send an email to clayfellowshipchurch@gmail.com. You can write it down and hand it to Cindy today, or send Cindy a text, and we'll get that information updated. Let's spend a little time together with our Lord in prayer this morning. I've come to really like doing this, of taking just a few moments to spend in prayer to lift up those that we have on our hearts and on our prayer list, to spend time with Him, praising Him for all that He has provided and all that He does. And this morning, spend some time preparing our hearts for communion, as we will partake in communion later in our service. But let's just spend a little time in prayer and reflection, and then I'll close us out. Oh Lord, we lift our eyes and our hearts to You. You know our thoughts. You know our needs. Lord, You know our iniquities. I pray that we bear them all to You and we leave them with You. For You, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. You take what we give, You redeem, and You restore for Your kingdom and for our good. If you would join me as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And all of God's people say, Amen. I ran across this song's hymn. We sing it, we all know it, Our God Reigns. But there's some verses to this song that we don't typically sing. And when I was reading the words, I wanted to use them today. So these are not my words, these are Leonard Smith Jr.'s words. It was our sin and guilt that bruised and wounded Him. It was our sin that brought Him down. When we like sheep had gone astray, our shepherd came, and on His shoulders bore our shame. His life ran down upon the ground that we might be born again. And then the words of Isaac Watts from the hymn we are about to sing. Sorrow and love flow mingled down, love so amazing, love so divine. We're going to sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. It's 239 in the hymnal, and we're going to sing all verses. You're welcome to stand. You're welcome to remain seated. But let's just think upon that wondrous cross and what that means to us.
See from it.
Talk to you about what they did to Jesus. 2,000 years ago, it's all about this. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. They nailed these huge spikes into his precious hands and his feet. And they even took a spear and thrust it into his side. These are three of the things that they did to my Jesus. I want you to think back with me this morning to that Friday morning. Before Jesus was crucified, he was crowned with a crown of thorns. And I believe that crown of thorns, it's got a message for us on this Palm Sunday. The crown that they placed on his head is in drastic contrast to the one that he wears today. The glorious crown that he is wearing today at the right hand of the Father. They made their decision as to what to do with Jesus. And there's two questions today. What will you do with Jesus? And the other one is, what will Jesus do with you? You see, it was not incidental. It was not accidental that Jesus was crowned with a crown of thorns. It was a cruel, cruel mockery. It was a wicked, wicked act of hatred and rebellion. But that crown has a message for us today. A message that's indescribably glorious. It's wonderful. Remember how Jesus was brought into the hall there, Pilate's hall. And Pilate, he tried to wash his hands, didn't he? Of making the decision. But he also had my Jesus scourged. And when they had finished beating him and mocking him, they took his bloody body and they put a scarlet robe on him. they cut a bamboo pole and put it in his hand. And they made a crown out of thorns and pressed it into his head. Then they took more of those bamboo poles and beat him all over his body, especially in his head and that crown. Folks, there was no rubies in that crown that day. In fact, the red came from the drops of blood that was coming from Jesus' brow. Take your Bibles this morning and look to Matthew, the 27th chapter. Matthew 27. Look at verse 26. Verse 26. The he here is Pilate, okay? Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus in the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his clothes back on him, and led him away to be crucified. Let us pray. Father, again I stand before your people, knowing I am nothing without you. But with you, God, everything is possible. Lord, may the words of my mouth be acceptable to you. God, you're my rock, and you're my redeemer. And it is your name that I pray this morning. Amen. Now, I said that this was neither incidental or accidental. God allowed this to happen. Done by the hands of wicked men, yet it was a part of this magnificent plan of our Almighty God. Now, there's several things I want us to notice this morning. First is, some call it the sacred mystery of the crown. Some say it was just a simple random thought. It was just a cruel jest. It was just a hollow mockery of a group of psychopathic Roman soldiers. But there's a mystery here, known only by the heart and mind of God. What does this crown of thorns represent? Well, it represents and symbolizes the curse that is upon humanity, on you, on me, on us. All because of sin. You see, when God put mankind in the Garden of Eden, there was no thorns. There was no thistles or brambles. I believe the roses that bloomed in that first garden, they didn't have any of those little prickly things, you know, on them. But not until sin came in. After Adam and Eve disobeyed God, And because of that, God came into the garden. And if you look at Genesis chapter 3, down at verse 17, God said this, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life." And then verse 18 says, "Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread." So, thorns and thistles began to grow on this earth. They are signs of the curse. Curse that was brought about because of sin. Over in the New Testament, in Hebrews 6:8, the word says this, "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected." Did you hear that? "That which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." Jesus was bearing those thorns. He wore that crown. Had Adam not sinned, thorns would have never grown on this earth. Jesus wore that crown because he bore that curse. You see, the thorns that pierced Jesus' brow, it speaks to the hardship, the sorrow, the actual death that comes from sin. Any of you had heartaches? Any of you face sorrow? Any of you been sick? It's because of sin. Whatever bed of briars that you face in this life, it's because of sin. Even Paul, he speaks of it. He said, "I have a thorn in the flesh." We will all know suffering. We all know pain, don't we? It's all because something happened to that perfect creation that God created. Sin. Another verse you might want to write down in your margin is Romans 8:22. "And we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together now." Why? Because there's a curse on everything because of sin. You want to know why this old world has so much confusion? Do you know why there's so much frustration, suffering? Sin. Next time you drive by a hospital, say, "Sin did that." Drive by a mental institution, "Sin did that." Drive by jail, "Sin did that." All heartache, all pain, all suffering, sin. And the thorns Jesus wore was a symbol of that sin. When Jesus died on that cross, crowned with that thorn, that crown of thorns. It was our sin. He bore the curse for you and me. And that's what I call the sacred mystery of the crown. I also want you to realize that there's the solemn misery of that crown. That crown speaks of suffering. It speaks of pain. You see, our temples, they're one of the most sensitive parts of the human body. Those thorns caused Jesus pain. And on top of that, they beat him with clubs. They battered our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The pictures you see, you maybe have some in your own home. Back when I was a kid, a lot of folks had pictures of Jesus in their houses. Well, those don't really portray Jesus as he probably looked on the cross. Doesn't bear any resemblance. We probably wouldn't want to see the real brutalized face of our Savior. He'd been whipped, scourged, beaten. Blood was most likely coming from every orifice of his head. Probably unrecognizable. But there on that cross stood the battered Lord Jesus Christ. Don't think you'd want a picture like that hanging in your house. Isaiah said in chapter 52, verse 14, his countenance was marred more than any man. If you want to paraphrase that, he didn't look like a man. He didn't even look human. Why? Well, over in the next chapter, in 53, verse 4, Isaiah says, surely he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. There's a mystery to the crown, but I hope you see there's a misery to that crown as well. He bore the curse, the solemn mystery. He suffered the hell that was supposed to be in for you and me. Over in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, excuse me, verse 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Amen? Next, I want you to notice the shameful mockery of that crown. My third M. My seminary professors would be so glad I'm using alliteration. When they had plaited that crown of thorns, back at verse 29 in Matthew, they put it on his head and a reed in his hand, and they bowed their knee before him and did what? Mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews. Why? Why would they do that? Rebellion. You're not our king. You're not even a true king. We won't honor you. No way. They were ridiculing our Jesus. You don't have any right to rule anyone. You're a fake. You're a forgery. If you notice, they didn't put a purple robe on Jesus. See, purple would have symbolized royalty. They put a red robe on my Savior. What's red a symbol of? Sin. They didn't put a scepter in his hand. They put an old stalk of bamboo. And they didn't put a laurel wreath on his head as the champion. They put an old jagged, thorny crown on his brow. He didn't get any homage that day. All he got was mockery. And it says, they literally spit in my Savior's face. Can you imagine? Here is the Lord of glory, the Son of God. And they spit in his face. Will you let me tell you what the root of all this is? The root of all sin is? Well, let me tell you what it's not. It's not what you do wrong that you ought not to do. It's not even failing to do what you ought to do. You see, sin is refusing to bow your knee to the rightful, to the righteous King of glory. Amen? All these other things in this world and that happened that day, because of sin. Because of sin. Sin is rebellion. It's that clenched fist. Listen to the first few verses of chapter 2 in the book of Psalms. What's David is saying? Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. That means against Christ. Saying this, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What's that saying? We don't want Christ to rule over us. When Jesus Christ came into this world, He came into the Roman world of government, to the Greek world of culture, and to the Hebrew world of religion. Those were the dominant thoughts of that day, and they all rejected Jesus. Instead of crowning His head with laurel wreaths, the sign of a champion, of a ruler, they put a crown of thorns on Him. But you know, the same thing's happening today. Think about it. Government. We've almost outlawed the Lord Jesus Christ here in America. The same America that was founded on Judeo-Christian ethics and heritage. Have you noticed lately how we move from one dilemma to another? From one crisis to another? And all the while, we leave the one who can unscramble all this mess standing outside of the door. Can Can you imagine? Standing up at one of our Ivy League universities and proclaiming Jesus is the answer. Oh, at those places, there's room for humanism. There's room for feminism. There's room for sodomy and adultery, sexual perversion. There's room for even treason. But no room for the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not bow the knee to Jesus. It's sad. It's sad, but many churches today are no more than glorified country clubs with steeples. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was crowned with this crown of thorns, is left standing outside their doors. Just look around you. How many churches today are there that still preaches the truth of this precious book? Still preach the blood atonement of Christ, that shed blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And who still preaches the blessed hope that Jesus is coming again. But they'll tell you, but we're still religious. I want to remind them, the same crowd that crucified Jesus, they were religious too. Well, let me get back. We had the mystery, we had the ministry, we had the mockery. And now there's the saving ministry of the crown. Folks, that's no happenstance. Why did Jesus wear the thorn of crowns? God's teaching a lesson. He said, him who know no sin, that's Jesus, God hath made the sin for us. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21, if you want to write that down. To be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. On our own? No, it says in Him. What does that mean? It means that my crown of thorns, my sin, my curse was put on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore my punishment. Are you listening? If there's somebody next to you asleep, punch them, okay? Not too hard, though. Listen, you are a sinner. I am a sinner. And as surely as you're sitting there and that I'm standing here, your sin will be punished. See, God is a holy God. And God has sworn by His holiness that all sin will be punished. Now, God never can. He will never let one half of one sin go unpunished. Our sin must be punished. The question is this: who will bear that punishment? You and me or Jesus? Sin will either be pardoned by Jesus are punished in hell. You can take this to the bank. Sin will never, ever be overlooked. That's why he said, him who hath no sin, God made to be sin for us. He took our sin. He was crowned with our sin. Jesus carried our sin to the cross. Do you know where this happened? Can I tell you where? It was Calvary. It was Golgotha. It was Mount Moriah. Like what, preacher? Yes, Mount Moriah. The Temple Mount. Calvary. All the same. It's all a part of what was known as Limestone Ridge. All the same mountain. Long time ago. Long before Jesus was born. God said to a man by the name of Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to take him to a place that I will show you. Not just any place, but a certain place. And there you are to offer your son Isaac. So, you know the story. Abraham and Isaac go to the place of sacrifice. Isaac, he knows there's going to be a sacrifice. But he looks around. Father, here's the wood. Here's the fire. We've got the rope. We've got the knife. But where's the lamb? Can't you just see Abraham's face as he's choking back the tears? He says, Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. They place the wood on the fire, on the altar. And everything's ready. And now Abraham has to tell his son. He looks down at Isaac and says, trust me, son. I don't understand. I just believe God. He'll just have to raise you from the dead. But son, you're the sacrifice. Put out your hands. I've got to tie you up. Now you got to realize that Isaac was young. Abraham probably 100 years old by now. Isaac probably could have taken him out anytime he wanted to, you know. Overcome him. But he didn't. He stretched out those hands. He laid down on the altar willingly. We don't preach that very much. Abraham raises that knife. Begins to plunge it into his son's chest. And he hears, Abraham! Abraham! Don't do any harm to your son. I've provided a substitute. Abraham looked over, and there in the thicket, isn't that something? There among the thorns was a ram caught by its horns. And God says, sacrifice him instead. That's the saving ministry of the crown. Abraham had built many, many altars before then. But you know, after that, he never built another altar. Why? Because this was the perfect altar. It was the perfect sacrifice. Listen to me. After Jesus died upon that cross, there's no need for another altar. For by one sacrifice, He has perfected forever those that are sanctified. They built another altar. That would be blasphemy. On the cross, what did Jesus say? It is finished. It's done. The sin debt is paid in full. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He, what? Washed it white as snow. Jesus was bearing our curse. He carried our sins to the cross. He was bearing our crown of thorns, the wickedness, the vileness, the filth of sin. The same sin that the cup that He wanted to avoid in the garden was now poured out on that precious head at Calvary. That's the saving ministry. But folks, it doesn't end there. There's a sovereign majesty to that crown. Do you think that Jesus died a helpless victim? Do you think because He lost control? Or perhaps Satan was in control of all this? Another thing to write in your margin, Acts 4:27. Here the apostles were preaching after the resurrection. Seeing now that their eyes are open, they have a revelation faith. And here's what it says, "For of the truth against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together." That's man's side. Look at verse 28. "To do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determine before to be done." Folks, that's not accidental. That's not incidental. This is part of the drama that's from the heart and mind of God when He wore that crown of thorns that day. That was His sovereign majesty. Not a helpless victim. It's what God ordained ahead of time. Crowns have always been a symbol of authority. They talk about the great Charlemagne wore a crown. Historians say it was octagonal, had eight sides, and every side had gold and rubies and emeralds and diamonds on it. Worth a king's ransom, they say. Richard the Lionhearted, he had a crown that was so heavy, he had to have two men walk beside him to hold the crown to keep him up straight. And they say the crown of the queens of England are priceless. Are priceless. But Jesus wore a crown. But I can think of His crown. It was a crown of peace. It was a crown of righteousness. It was a crown of glory. But folks, He never wore a crown like this one. Sovereign majesty of that crown. His rubies, they were those drops of blood. Oh, we sing a hymn called "Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb upon His Throne." The old preacher that I borrowed this idea today from, he's with the Lord right now, but he used to say, "The rose of Sharon blooms in that crown." He called it Sharon's sweetest rose, a rose of beauty, whose petals are kissed with the sunshine of heaven. And that's what blooms from that crown. Stacy, you and Peggy want to come on to the instruments? Did you know that when birds build nests. They want to find a place of safety and security. And many times these birds find that place in a bramble bush or in a thorn thicket. Folks, this is where we're headed today. My security, my safety, my salvation, my all in all is found in the name of Jesus. The name above all names. The name of the one who wore this crown for me. You have a choice today. You know what that choice is? You can bow your knee today and say yes to Jesus, or you can say no. Give me that crown. I'll wear it my own self. I'll take the curse. I'll pay for my sin. I'll burn in hell. Because I'm going to refuse. My rebellion is going to make me refuse the amazing grace that's being offered to me today. You see, there's a mystery. There's a misery. There's a mockery. There's a ministry. But praise God, there's a majesty to that crown. 60 years ago, I bowed my knee and I said, Jesus, here, take my crown of thorns. I don't want to wear it anymore. You've got these little paper crowns on your chairs around you this morning. I couldn't afford this real one, okay? This morning, they're going to be our symbols of the crown of thorns. The one that you deserve to wear, but Jesus wore it for you. And as we come forward a little later for the Lord's table, I want you to bring those crown of thorns. And I want you to throw all of your sins, all of your weaknesses, all of your failures at the foot of the cross symbolically and throw those crowns down at the cross. I believe that Jesus wore that crown for me. He was the perfect sacrifice for me. Why? And I don't understand this. Because Jesus loves me. Oh, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Stand with us now. We're going to be singing, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. You got a decision to make. You going to keep that crown on your head, or you going to let Jesus wear it today? It's yours to make. Let's sing.
What more?
seated. On that Thursday night, as they were observing the Passover, Jesus took a bread from the table and broke it and blessed it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you." He also, during the meal, took up one of the cups, blessed it, and said, "I want you to drink from this cup, because this is the blood of the new covenant shed for you." As you come forward this morning and lay your crowns down, I'd like all of us to gather at this altar today as we close our service. Come join us now. The body of Christ given for you. 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 Today, as we close our service, we're going to celebrate that last M, celebrate His Majesty. Because it's a true celebration. We don't have to worry about our sin anymore. It's been forgiven. Amen?
We're going to sing Majesty.
Majesty, worship His majesty. Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Last phrase. Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all kings. One more time. Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Amen, amen. Go in His glory today. You deserve it. Amen.